From politics in the U.S. and around the world to the CIA, Russia, fake news, we've got it all today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is great to be back home. Got in last night, probably about 10 o'clock after 22 hours of travel, leaving my hotel in Turin, Italy, Torino, about 11:30 or so U.S. time in the evening, and then flight from there into Rome, a few hours layover in Rome, long flight from Rome to Atlanta, a few hours layover in Atlanta, and then Atlanta home. And so much to talk to you about, so much going on in America and around the world. But I want to put out a question for you, all right? I want to put out a question to you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We're going to give you some thoughts on where Donald Trump is at with his transition and his tweeting and what we're to make of this, his cabinet picks thus far. A very, very important case from the Netherlands with someone who potentially could be the next prime minister of the Netherlands, even though he was just convicted by the courts of hate speech. In fact, that may have increased his popularity. We'll cover that. The whole question of so-called fake news and the question of Russia hacking the elections. So here's my question for you. That and more we'll be covering on the air today. Here's my question, 866-34-TRUTH. That's the number to call, 866-348-7884. Okay, very simply. There are charges now, no specific sources being identified. There's some question in terms of the clarity of the charges or what's actually being said, that allegedly Russia hacked the Democratic National Party, hacked the Democratic Party's emails and computers, and was also complicit in getting information to WikiLeaks, and this helped influence the outcome of the elections. In other words, it hurt the Democrats, it hurt Hillary Clinton, it helped get Donald Trump elected. So Russian hacking played a role in the elections. The CIA unofficially is saying that there's evidence of this. Donald Trump is saying hogwash. What nonsense. He said if I was the one making this charge, that if I had lost and I was blaming it on Russia, everyone would call it some kind of conspiracy theory. Who do you believe? The CIA, as being reported again in somewhat secondhand way. Do you believe that Russia, in fact, was involved in hacking the elections and help Trump get elected? Do you believe the alleged reporting of the CIA? I say alleged only because we don't have all the details. Or do you believe Donald Trump saying it's hogwash? What do you personally believe? Do you trust our national security, Central Intelligence Agency? If you've ever seen some movie and the CIA is involved, and, you know, they know everything everywhere and every surveillance camera in the world and push a button and get this data and that data and log into this computer and that computer. Do you believe them or what's being reported they're saying, or do you believe Donald Trump? It says this is hogwash. John Bolton, possible Secretary of State, has questioned whether this is what's called a false flag. By false flag, meaning that our government is actually doing this and making it look like someone else is doing it, or another group is doing it, making it look like someone else is doing it. Is that possible? Senator John McCain, calls the Russian interference warfare. He actually believes they're guilty. Donald Trump denies it. Who do you believe, the CIA or Donald Trump? I'm doing a poll on this on Twitter. The results so far are fascinating. 866-348-7884. We come back. I want to mention a couple of fun things from my trip to Italy and India. Those that were praying for me, thank you so much. Your prayers are answered. It was a great trip, and I'm back home refreshed and strong. Who do you believe, Donald Trump or the CIA?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I was safer around women, and I liked to be around girls, and all of my friends were girls. I didn't have anyone helping me navigate this world of being male.
When puberty kicked in, all of these desires that I had, wanting an in-depth and very intense relationship with the little boys, actually became sexualized.
Many teenagers that grapple with this secretly have a great deal of hopelessness. They believe that they were born this way, there's nothing they can do about it, and they're often hesitant to talk about it. The truth is that they weren't born that way, and that change is possible.
Ah, some amazing, amazing stories and testimonies from the DVD, Such Were Some of You. This is Michael Brown. You're listening to The Line of Fire. And the reason I play that clip for you is not because we're talking about this today. It's amazing testimonies of those coming out of homosexuality and what the Bible says about these issues and practical counsel to deal with these issues of unwanted same-sex attraction. The reason I played that clip is because this week you can get 25% off of all of our DVDs, plus free shipping. 25% off of all of our DVDs. That includes incredible DVDs like Such Were Some of You, and some of our best debates, and some of our best teachings, some done over in the land of Israel on the feasts and holy days. So take advantage of that. Go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Sorry. With 25% off, we can't do free shipping on top of that. My bad. So 25% off of all of our DVDs, which is a great saving. So take advantage of that. Still in time to get these. Hopefully, if you order today, next day, hopefully you can even get them in time for Christmas. But certainly, you'll have them in time to enjoy them for many years to come. All right. 866-348-7884. Do you believe that Russia hacked the U.S. elections? Or do you believe that when Donald Trump says this is hogwash, that poor investigating by the CIA, that Donald Trump is right? Now, think of this for a minute. Think of this. This is the incoming president of the United States, and this is his intelligence service. You follow? In other words, this is not the intelligence service of Iran or Iraq or Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan or Russia or Israel or Canada. This is the U.S. government's Central Intelligence Agency that should be working for the president, and the president of the United States will have access to all of their briefings, all of their information, in ways that no one else on the planet will, and yet he's criticizing them here. Now, is this because this is part of the larger government, part of the larger swamp that has to be drained? And that's why Donald Trump has the attitude that he has? Is it because the FBI has appeared to be unreliable, or, you know, working complicitly with the government, against the government, or covering up or not covering up? Is this part of the larger mistrust? Does Donald Trump know something that we don't know as far as what's going on with the CIA, what's going on with Russia? Now, thus far, as Donald Trump has been moving forward in these weeks since being elected president of the United States, as he has been appointing his cabinet picks, many on the left are flipping out or up in arms or can't believe it. And even with him having several generals on his cabinet saying, this could be just like a dictatorship. Look at what he's doing. Others are saying this is amazing. The Heritage Foundation, which is any group on the planet, I would say, hey, great group to have counseling the president on cabinet picks. They'd certainly be high on the list of groups that I would pick. Heritage Foundation, they're giddy with the influence they've been able to have thus far. And quite remarkably, I was reading an article saying that Trump's cabinet picks are more conservative than Ronald Reagan's. Yeah, and, you know, Betsy DeVos would be over education, openly saying that they're going to do away with Common Core, something that many conservatives, many Christians have real issues with. And others, you know, military picks and others, just top of the line. Many conservatives really excited about that. At the same time, Donald Trump is who he is. In other words, that hasn't changed. For better or worse, he is who he is. He's still tweeting. Will he be tweeting as president? When I asked folks on Twitter about that, will he be tweeting as president as a good thing or a bad thing, they were kind of divided over whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but overwhelmingly, close to 90% said, yeah, he's going to be tweeting as president. I mean, can you imagine that? Just can imagine if you listen to the broadcast one day, listen to the Line of Fire one day, and he didn't like what was said, and then, you know, very, let's say I was trying to do an imitation of Trump, which I don't do. Imitations, generally speaking, and Donald Trump never tried or thought of it. But anyway, let's just say I tried to do an imitation of Donald Trump, and he's listening, saying, "Very poor imitation. Who is this clown?" Or something. Wait, that's the president of the United States. So he's still tweeting, he's still doing what he's doing, and now he's doing something that's, I guess, unprecedented. And to be saying CIA, we don't trust them. We don't trust them. In this regard, and tweeting that out. So what do you think? Do you think the CIA is trustworthy here? Do you think that Russia has indeed hacked the elections? I read another theory that said, no. They knew Trump was going to make it in. They just wanted to hurt Hillary Clinton, weaken her. But they were sure Trump wasn't going to get in. That's another theory. Others have said if they're really hacking, then why would they leave evidence that it's them hacking? If you leave evidence, maybe it's someone else. And they're leaving evidence to give false impressions, like setting up a scene, a crime scene or something, to frame someone else. Is that what is going on here? 866-34-TRUTH. Now listen, we don't have access to a millionth of what the CIA has access to. You and I sitting here, right? Donald Trump has access, I would imagine, to any of the information he wants as the incoming president. Is he trashing this based on evidence, or is he trashing it based on it's just hurting the narratives as if he didn't really win the election? Is he trashing it based on general mistrust for the government that he's about to take over? So you and I are just giving an opinion from a distance. That's all we can do from our vantage points. But this is all really quite fascinating. And one thing for sure is that political life in America is different than it's ever been. Again, for better or worse, it is different than it has ever been. Before we get to your calls and your opinion about this, let's listen to John Bolton, potential Secretary of State and a hard right-liner in terms of radical Islam and things like that. Joey, we'll start with clip number 11. And he's on with Fox News' Eric Schaun. This was yesterday, December 11th.
We have to know the facts here, and it's not at all clear to me, just viewing this from the outside, that this hacking into the DNC and the RNC computers was not a false flag operation. Let's remember what FBI Director James Comey said dealing with Hillary's homebrew server. He said, "We found no direct evidence of foreign intelligence service penetration. But given the nature of this, we didn't expect to," meaning a really sophisticated foreign intelligence service would not leave any cyber fingerprints.
Interesting. So if there are cyber fingerprints, were they left by someone else to implicate Russia? And remember, Julian Assange of WikiLeaks has adamantly said that Russia was not the source of their hacking of the Democratic National Committee emails. Let's get our first opinion. We'll start in Westchester County, New York. Phil, what's your take on this?
Hi, Dr. Brown. Let me answer your question by answering it this way. Was the Justice Department above board when dealing with Hillary with regard to her emails? And I think that may answer the question on whether or not the CIA under the Obama administration can be or is or was above board while dealing with this. Part two of my answer is this. Assuming the CIA is correct and this was all Russia hacking and came up with this phenomenal information. It's based on truth, and thus Hillary lost based on kind of an illicit investigation, but it was nonetheless an investigation based on truth. And the other end of the coin is, let's assume Donald Trump is correct. It's all hogwash. Well, then he still won based on truth. So I don't get why they're making such a big deal about it.
Got it. All right, Phil. Why are they making such a big deal about it? Obvious thing would be if another country could hack our computers and influence an election, it's major. But your points as far as Justice Department and clear up bias in favor of Hillary Clinton, and the other questions raised, fair questions. And again, all these were just emails, factual communications.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And what I'm asking you, Chuck, is tell me what the specific source that you have, other than a New York Times article that claims that through unnamed sources, who they say was also inconclusive, what source are you using to be so adamant to get a response from me on something that doesn't have a source to it? What's your source?
That was Reince Priebus, who's now from the head of the RNC, now a top leader in the Trump transition team. And he's challenging MSNBC's Chuck Todd, who actually is on Meet the Press on Sunday, challenging him about, okay, what's your source? You're telling us. You're telling us about this hacking, and so tell me how you know it. You're upset with us for denying it. Tell me how you know it. So who do you trust? Do you believe that the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States, that you know, may know half of the conversations we're having in private? I mean, who knows, you know, how much information they have or how much access to our emails they have? Or, you know, look, I'm traveling somewhere. I'm overseas. I got my cell phone on. And it's telling me, okay, here's how much time it is to the Turin airport. Or I'm sitting down having a meal with some friends in the States, and it's giving me ratings on the restaurant where I am, because it's, you know, it's got access to your, if you allow it, you know, to where you are traveling and things like that. This way, when you're doing GPS, it knows where you are, tells you how to get where you're going. So who knows how much the CIA knows? And yet Donald Trump says nonsense, hogwash. Is this more of the phenomenon of fake news? The left has coined the phrase fake news, claiming it was, quote, fake news that helped get Donald Trump elected. You know, it's one of these things also where the way you lose is often much more important. And if you don't learn the lessons in losing and instead point the fingers at everyone else, you tend not to grow and improve. I'm just saying in life in general, it seems to be what's happening with Democrats right now or with the left right now, generally speaking. But this whole fake news phenomenon, well, that story was fake. Well, that story was fake. Well, how much fake stuff is coming from the other side? How much fake stuff is coming from the left versus the right? The Washington Times has a top 10, quote, real news stories, real in quotes, real news stories that turned out to be fake. One, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it. That was not just a statement from the president, but it got reported as if true. Number two. Hang on, let me just see. Click to read more. Here we are. Number two, hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot. The narrative about Ferguson, Missouri. No, it's not to say that police are always faultless. It's not to say that there hasn't been police violence against blacks or others. It's not to say that. It's to say that that narrative that my namesake Michael Brown said, hands up, don't shoot, before being shot dead by a cop, that's a myth. That's a myth. That's why even Obama's Justice Department going into Ferguson looking for something, looking for evidence to indict the police, couldn't find anything to verify this hands up, don't shoot myth. That was widely reported. Number three, the Iran deal was negotiated with moderate Iranians, not the radical mullahs. Number four, the Bol-Bergdahl exchange, prison exchange, was hard-fought, negotiated. Number five, the Benghazi attack was inspired by an online viral video. I mean, this is all nonsense. These things are all false. Number six, climate change will produce more storms like Hurricane Katrina. Number seven, Cuba has great health care. Murderous dictator Fidel Castro was good. Number eight, myth of the killer cop epidemic. Okay. Claim that a black man was killed every 28 hours by a police officer. Number nine, Donald Trump's advisor Steve Bannon is a white supremacist. Again, this stuff is just false. And number 10, Donald Trump can't win the White House. Interesting. Top 10 real news stories. So do you believe Donald Trump? Do you believe the CIA? And if you believe Trump over the CIA, why? 866-348-7884. I put this question on Twitter and getting some very interesting results. When it comes to alleged Russian influence on the elections, do you believe the CIA or Trump? I gave three choices, CIA, Trump, or unsure. Again, the results have been fascinating thus far. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Hughesville, Maryland. Sharon, you're next up on the line of fire.
Are we on the air?
You're on the air, Sharon.
Okay, well, first of all, I think that you're a bit leading in asking, in glorifying the CIA. And for all the points you just gave, that I just heard the whole list of litany where the government misleaded the American people. I'm an American Indian, and I can tell you right now that I would choose just about anybody over the CIA and the government to lead me in the way that I should go. Maybe just not everybody's had that experience, but I think a lot of people have had the experience of getting tangled up in the American government. Mm-hmm. Anything from the MBA to Benghazi.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that the larger point, it really doesn't matter. I mean, I think it does matter that we were hacked. But whether it was Donald Trump or whether it was the Russians or who knew about it, they didn't write the emails. The
right.
emails
Correct.
And the content was what caused Hillary Clinton to lose. It wasn't that emails were out there. It was the content. And no matter
right.
how
and,
heard
and
about
let me mention one thing, Sharon, is that there was even the claim by Democratic leaders that the emails had been forgered, that they were not truthful, that there is about to be a WikiLeaks release and it's not truthful. You know, people actually claim that. And of course, you're right. All it was factual. And by the way, Sharon, the reason I set things up the way I did is not to lead in one way or the other. I just want people to realize that when you say, I don't trust the CIA, just understand what you're saying. I wasn't leading either way. And in fact, I haven't landed myself in terms of my own views. And thus far on Twitter, only 17% of people responding to the poll say they trust the CIA. 45% say they trust Trump. On this, they believe Trump. 38% say they're unsure. So many, many, many feel the same way you do, Sharon. They don't trust the government agencies. I just wanted people to feel the weight of that. But anyway, back to you, Sharon.
Well, I work for the government, the DOD, and I can tell you that I know a lot of things that I wouldn't want to talk about, but I can tell you that the narrative that the American people get and what's really going on is very often not the same, or at least it's slanted so far that you wouldn't recognize it necessarily. Some of that's okay, some of it isn't. But the government and the CIA is just an extension of who we've had in office. The president's going to tell the CIA what he wants to have publicized.
Got it. Yeah, I got to jump in. We've got a break. So that's the other issue, that this is the CIA under the Obama administration. The larger question of trusting the Obama administration. Hey, Sharon, thanks for weighing in, and sorry for the difficult experiences you've had over the years. I don't doubt what you're saying at all. All right, friends, remember, this is thelineoffire.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Have the Russians indeed hacked our political system, hacked democratic emails, hacked important intelligence information that helped bring down Hillary Clinton and bring in Donald Trump? 866-348-7884, asking the question, who do you trust, Donald Trump or the CIA? There's a fascinating article on the stream by my friend and colleague, John Zmirak. It's called Trump, Putin, and the Great Christian Pinata. Trump, Putin, and the Great Christian Pinata. And he writes the latest claim of left-wing dead-enders who simply cannot accept that America rejected their candidate is that Russia hacked the presidential election. At first, they implied that Russian computer geniuses had rigged our voting machines when scrupulous recounts turned up zero evidence for that claim. The story morphed almost seamlessly into the rumor that Russia was somehow behind the WikiLeaks revelations about the Clinton campaign, that Putin wanted Trump to win the election, so he orchestrated the release of thousands of authentic damning documents. Now, remember, as our first two callers said, even if there was hacking, which they weren't saying there was, but even if there was, it hacked actual information. In other words, if you hacked all my emails, okay, you are not going to be able to present something about me that contradicts who I am on the radio and in my preaching and teaching and writing. In other words, you're not going to find some secret documents where I actually believe in the Illuminati or where I'm a secret member of the Rothschilds or that I'm a 33rd or whatever degree Mason or that I want to see a death penalty against gays and Muslims or bizarre stuff like that. You're not going to find any of that because it's not there. It's not who I am. It's not what I write. So, again, if stuff was revealed, there's bad stuff that was revealed. Well, that's almost like divine judgment for that to happen. But he's got a very interesting idea here, okay? And he quotes others who are taking apart a lot of this narrative, the alleged Russian hacking. And again, as Zmirak says, the only particle of proof for such a story of Russian hacking amounts to illegal leaks from unnamed CIA officers slipped to a friendly liberal reporter and disputed by the FBI. All right. But what he finds interesting is that Russia can be so readily attacked. And he says Russia is the great Christian pinata. Its regime is against abortion, aggressively pro-Christian after a fashion, Russian Orthodoxy, and starkly opposed to the LGBT revolution. Now, some Arab despotisms are also socially conservative, but because they're Muslim and Middle Eastern, criticizing them seems racist, at least to self-righteous, Ivy-educated journalism majors who think that Islam is somehow a race. But Russians are historically Christian, mostly white, so they're fair game, a nation of deplorables. If you want to rattle a saber, defend human rights, attack social conservatism, or even Christian faith itself, Russia is your target regime of choice. Now he says, look, Vladimir Putin is no Abe Lincoln. He goes on with that, obviously. But again, another fascinating, interesting article by John Zmirak. You can read that over at the stream. Also, I've got two articles that I wrote over the weekend before traveling back from overseas. One, we must not let the race baiters divide us. We must not let the race baiters divide us. And where is my other one? Washington Post, your attacks on evangelicals are getting dangerous. Washington Post, your attacks on evangelicals are getting dangerous. You can read my latest articles by going to thelineoffire.org. We'll be right back with your calls. Who do you trust? Trump, the CIA.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We don't want to compromise intelligence sources and methods, but when you make that kind of allegation, if it were true, and I believe the Russians have both the capability and the intention of doing it, I'm not by any means trying to exonerate them, but if you say they've done that, let me be very clear. Either in the cyber world or elsewhere, we should retaliate.
In other words, don't just stand around. The voice of John Bolton again. Don't just stand around and say, yeah, they did this. If they did it, then that's an act of cyber war, is it not? If they did, so John McCain, New York Times, quotes him, Russian interference is, quote, warfare, all right? President-elect Donald J. Trump takes to Twitter to deny Russian involvement in his election victory. Senator John McCain says there's no doubt about Russian hacking, which he calls warfare. Kyler Fiorina, potential director of national intelligence. That's part of the New York Times story as well, but that's something we won't be getting into. 866-348-7884. See, what is clear is this. There is a massive feeling of skepticism towards the government in general. There is the question of how reliable information is, how unbiased information is, be it because of the success of Donald Trump's campaign in questioning a lot of things that are around us, or more reasonably, the fact that Donald Trump has tapped into a massive question that Americans have about the reliability of what our government says and does. In other words, he didn't create the skepticism, he tapped into it. Whether it's something happening in other countries as well, whether it's just part of the larger pushback against what's considered to be the establishment. Either way, the fact that so many people readily question the CIA or the FBI, and you know that, again, I can't underscore how major that is, that just by default, you say, yeah, I don't know. FBI says, yeah, I don't know. Okay. CIA says, I don't know. That's quite extraordinary. Yeah, as someone just tweeted to me, obviously, sarcastically, the CIA would never lie to us. Why the skepticism? Why the strong suspicions? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Lee. We won't go to Lee in Stafford, Virginia. I was about to go there, but we won't. Look, there is a rightful distrust in the mainstream media for many reasons. Now, the mainstream still has massive, massive influence, but not enough influence to keep Donald Trump out of the White House, right? And has massive influence, but the so-called new media, rapidly growing. How long ago was it? I would say 10 years ago or more, I was sitting at a meeting with Christian leaders in Pasadena, California. And there was a younger man there, let's say we were 50-ish, he was 30-ish or something, and he was talking about an apartment he was renting out, and that the young people renting it only wanted to make sure that there was high-speed internet available. Okay, what about cable set up, TV? They said, we don't use that. So here was a generation of people saying, we don't use TV, we use internet. So if we're going to watch a TV show, we'll watch it via internet. And obviously, they're going to get a lot of their news through internet. That's going to color a lot. Now, of course, you've had the right-wing media, the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys, the talk radio hosts, the Michael Savages and others. You've had the right-wing Fox, which is not quite as far right, to counter, say, the leftists, or left-leaning CNN or MSNBC, but then you've got, again, the major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, with that same left-leaning slant. But is their influence waning? And are people now questioning more and more of what they're reading? I wrote an article a few days ago that fake news is more pervasive than you might realize, so-called fake news. And in my opinion, the left is going to regret ever coming up with that term fake news because, again, in my opinion, they practice it more than they are the victims of it. So here's what I pointed out in my article. Fake news is far more pervasive than we realize. Number one, headlines are often fake. What do I mean by that? Headlines are often a reflection of someone's interpretation of an article. I used to think, maybe naively, that the headline gave the short version, even in sensationalized form or catchy, clever form, the headline gave the short version of what the news story was actually about. All right? And the reality is that in many cases now, the headlines themselves are misleading. And I used as a case in point the Drudge Report, which is a massive news aggregator. If you go to the Drudge Report on a given day and then listen to Rush Limbaugh, you'll find a lot of what he covers is what's being listed there on Drudge. So its main story a few days ago, this was last Thursday, Bitter Hillary blames fake news. I guess I almost said Biller Hillary. So Bitter Hillary blames fake news. And fake news, of course, in quotes. So what would you understand that to be saying? That Hillary Clinton, bitter after losing the election, was blaming fake news for her loss. Actually, if you click on the link, and Drudge just puts headlines on its site, that's it. And you click on the link and it takes you over to the news site itself. So it was an article on The Hill titled Clinton Blasts Epidemic of Fake News. But I read the article and nowhere did the article state that she was bitter. You say, but we know she's bitter. Okay, but that's not what the news is about. Again, what's the headline? What's the news? And nowhere in the article did she directly blame fake news for her defeat. She seemed to be pointing to other issues. In fact, she clearly was. And, for example, the whole issue of so-called Pizzagate, the story where it was in the New York Post or other places I saw it, that allegedly there was a pizzeria in Washington, and it was involved in the pedophile ring that was somehow part of the Clinton Foundation. So the Clintons were involved in human trafficking of children. And so this guy who claims to have put his faith in Scripture in recent years and be a Bible believer, he goes into this pizza place with a gun, fires a shot, doesn't shoot at anybody, and of course is arrested. He says, "Boy, I was trying to do something right, it went wrong," and so on. She said, "It's now clear that the so-called fake news can have real-world consequences." Also saying, "This isn't about politics or partisanship. Lives are at risk, lives of ordinary people just trying to go about their days to do their jobs, contribute to their communities." And the article noted that some Democrats have argued the spread of Ann Clinton news, fake news online, contributed to her electoral loss to Donald Trump. But nowhere did it say that she said that, or Bitter Hillary blamed this for her defeat, which was clearly implied by the Drudge headline. So even when you read the article, you're reading the article through the lens of a misleading headline. Now I started to notice this in the last year. I'm sure it's been going on a lot longer, but I started to notice it in the last year much, much more. Because there, I was looking at a lot of stuff going on with the elections. And I was struck when I clicked on the actual link to get to the story that it was actually very different than what the headline was saying. So headlines can be misleading. And then news articles often put their own slant on speeches and events. So you're not reading the news. Donald Trump was in D.C. and said this. You're reading someone's interpretation of that news. An example I gave was during the Republican primaries, Jeb Bush was giving a talk to a small group of supporters, and he made a point, and then with maybe a half smile, said, "You know, now would be a good time to applaud," and people laughed and applauded. You ever heard a preacher say, "Hey, now would be a good time for an amen"? It's like, hey, you missed your moment there. It's in jest. It's fun. Say, hey, that's a good point there. Come on. So the story, though, talked about Jeb Bush's embarrassing moment hitting the crowd was not even with him and so on. And I watched that. I thought, that's not what happened. It was a cute little moment there. Nothing embarrassing. So I asked Nancy to watch, and she said, yeah, she felt the same way. But the story about it paints a certain picture. So either you don't actually watch the video to see what it's about, or you watch it and you watch it through biased eyes already. So so-called fake news, it's a lot more pervasive than we might realize.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. That is the number to call. Do you remember what happened in the most recent presidential elections or prime minister elections in Israel? Do you remember the claim that the White House directly tried to interfere with the elections and work against the re-election of Prime Minister Netanyahu because it wanted, quote, revenge against him? I'm looking at a report, John Sexton, March 24th, 2015, on Breitbart.com. And by the way, if you don't like Breitbart, plenty of other sources reported this. Sources in the Israeli government claim the White House tried to influence the recent election because it wanted revenge against Netanyahu. Quote, the White House is driven by three main motives. The first is revenge. The second is frustration. It's no secret that they were involved in an attempt to bring down the Netanyahu government, something that we have clear knowledge of and failed. The third is the administration's attempt to divert attention from negotiations with Iran to the Palestinian issue. And the source was likely referring to the group V15, which ran a get-out-the-vote campaign designed to push Netanyahu out of office. V15 was connected to the One Voice movement, which seeks a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The State Department reportedly gave several hundred thousand dollars to One Voice. V15 also hired a former Obama campaign strategist to run its campaign. How much truth is there in this? I don't know. It almost seemed open when it was happening because I was hearing the accusations through that electoral cycle. But I'm an outsider. You know what I'm saying? I don't have access to inside documents more than you do. Oh, you know, we have people that often are on the inside and give us information. But let's be honest. There's a lot. You just have to rely on other reports that you get, and unless you're inside in the government or have some secret source, you're trying to sort everything out for yourself. What does that mean? That if America could do it, Russia could do it? Yeah, perhaps this would have been in a different way. But let's just say this wouldn't be the first time that America got involved with other countries. Have we been involved with the assassination of certain leaders that we thought were dangerous? Have we been involved in empowering one group to try to topple another? Then that group ends up being worse than the ones we toppled. Yeah, and we wouldn't be the only government involved in those things, at least allegedly. But I don't know any more about Russia hacking our emails than you do. What I do know, and what other callers have emphasized, is if stuff was hacked, if stuff was brought to light, what was brought to light was true, and that's what was damning, okay? Look, if someone broke into your house, and when they broke into your house, they discovered that you had stolen goods in your house because your family was part of a racket stealing from people in the neighborhood who were away on summer vacations, okay, someone broke into your house, that was wrong. But you're still going to be arrested by the police when this person just puts news out. You won't believe what I found here. You know, they get out of there in a hurry once they realize what they found. They don't want to be caught with all those stolen goods. and they secretly report it to get that person in trouble. Or maybe you're a neighbor and you watched your neighbor going out at night and doing these strange things. You followed him one time and saw them coming back with stolen goods. So you secretly break in there. Of course, you've broken the law. What you've done is wrong. And if you get caught for doing it, you're in trouble, rightly so. But the fact that the stolen goods were there in your neighbor's house, that's their problem. That's their guilt. So let's not forget that in all of the discussion here. And my issue today, in all candor, was not so much on whether Russia did it or not. That was not my big issue. And I don't know. My big issue is, it's striking how many distrust CIA, FBI, Department of Justice, they're all different organizations, but how many distrust them right now and share Donald Trump's extreme skepticism? So here's a Gallup poll, June 1st through 5th, 2016. That's when it was conducted. And it says, I'm going to read your list of institutions in American society. Please tell me how much confidence you yourself have in each one. A great deal, quite a lot, some or very little. At the top of the list was what? What do you think? What was at the top of the list? The military. The military. What was at the bottom of the list? You ready? Congress. Congress. Yep. So those who trust a great deal or quite a lot, the military was total of 73%. 73%. 41% said they trust the military a great deal. 32% said quite a lot. Congress, nobody said it. I mean, infinitesimal said a great deal. 6% said quite a lot. That's unbelievable. How about this? Newspapers. This is striking. 8% said they trusted a great deal. 12% said quite a lot. Television news, just slightly higher. 8% said they trusted a great deal. 13% said quite a lot. The only thing lower than that, and slightly higher than Congress, was big business. The criminal justice system, massive mistrust. Organized labor, massive mistrust. Banks, massive mistrust. Public schools, massive mistrust. U.S. Supreme Court, a whole lot of mistrust. Presidency, a whole lot of mistrust. Church, organized religion, that was number four on the list of most trusted. But still only 20% said they trusted a great deal, 21%, quite a lot, so 41% combined there. Hey, the police are number three most trusted. 25% trusted a great deal, 31% quite a lot. And small business, interesting. 30% say a great deal, 38% say quite a lot. It's obviously sentiments like this that help get Donald Trump elected. And by the way, I don't say it in any negative way. I'm saying these are sentiments that people have. And the question is, how much is justified in the skepticism? I think a whole lot, especially when it comes to Congress, newspapers, television news, as to the mistrust for big business. Perhaps it's justified. I have to think a little bit more about that. But fascinating, fascinating data, wouldn't you agree? All right, friends, one thing you can always trust 100% of the time is the Word of God. We've got some wonderful DVDs teaching on varied subjects from Scripture, be it the modern state of Israel today, be it the feast and calendar of Israel filmed in Israel, be it DVDs from former homosexuals and biblical scholars talking about these issues. This week, 25% on all of our DVDs. 25% off of all of our DVDs. So take advantage of that by going to thelineoffire.org. Our bottom line today, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. A lot of the established institutions are not looking too good. From politics in the U.S. and around the world to the CIA, Russia, fake news, we've got it all today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Why is it that Jesus quotes Psalm 22? Evi, evi, lama sabachthani? He's drawing our attention. My God, why have you forsaken me? To that psalm, to Psalm 22. And saying, I am not being delivered from death right now. I am hanging here on this cross. He quotes it so we go and read it. And when we go and read it, there in our Hebrew scriptures is an amazing account of a righteous sufferer whose descriptions there, the way it's described and stretched out and publicly mocked and garments divided, and according to some readings, his hands and feet pierced. This description of this righteous sufferer, we go there because Yeshua quotes those words on the cross, and we go to Psalm 22, and we read those words, and we see they speak of a righteous sufferer who is delivered from the jaws of death so that all the ends of the earth, the Gentiles, praise God. Who, pray tell, is that referring to, if not Jesus?
Asbury Theological Seminary, and the author of many, many important New Testament books, and this most recent two-volume study, which I'm literally holding in my hands here. It's kind of hard to hold in one hand, big. Two volumes, almost 1,200 pages, Miracles, the Credibility of the New Testament Accounts. I will be taking some calls, but limited. So if you have a question for Professor Keener today, the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or you can post it on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, and perhaps we'll get to some of those as well. All right, without further ado, Craig, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
It's my privilege to be with you.
And a special time of the year. We did a debate about Christmas yesterday, but what does today mean to you?
Oh, happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, so a joint happy Hanukkah to all of our listeners. Craig, before we get into the details of this book, were you always a believer in Jesus? Were you always a believer in the authority of Scripture?
No, I was converted from atheism.
At what age?
I was 15.
And what was it that made you an atheist, and what was it that brought you out of atheism? It's kind of a common theme, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I hadn't had very much firsthand exposure to Christianity. I mean, I thought most people were Christians, but I didn't exactly know what they believed. But since at least the age of 9, I had been thinking it was much more smart to be an atheist because I thought, I wasn't very smart, but I thought that you could explain the universe without recourse to the hypothesis of a God, is the way I put it. I got into a debate about that. Somebody said, well, there had to be a first cause. And I said, not if you had infinite time going all the way back, which, of course, now we know is not correct. But anyway, when I was about 13, though, and I was reading Plato, I started thinking about questions of eternity and things that Plato's answers didn't seem to be that good. His arguments didn't seem to be that good, but he was asking a lot of important questions. And it got me to rethink and start asking, what if I'm wrong? And then a couple years later, I had an encounter with Christ.
So there was a desire to hold to truth that ultimately led you to the Lord. Of course, Craig was not your average 13-year-old reading Plato. But we'll find out about Craig's journey today, what led him to the writing of this book, Miracles. I've never seen a book more highly praised by critics than this book.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. We had a glitch in our system in the first hour today and had to reboot at the top of the hour, because of which we had to play an older program, the beginning of the show. So don't be confused. It is December 12th, 2016. On the East Coast, it's 3:07 p.m. And I am back from India and Italy, a blessed week of ministry. Got in about 10 last night after 22 hours of travel. Got a great night's sleep and ready to go today. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. Here in America, we saw a populist uprising that got Donald Trump elected, a candidate that seemingly would have been unelectable for many reasons and had no path to the White House, gets elected by a wide electoral margin. And it's not just in America, though, that there is a populist uprising. The populist uprising is much more widespread. And it's not because suddenly people are becoming hateful and xenophobic and Islamophobic and other phobic. That's not it. I don't believe that's the key. What I see as the key is that special interest groups seem to have more power than the general populace, that the radical agenda of a few is put on the many, and the many are saying enough is enough. This is happening in some European countries. And in these European countries, it's not that they've been anti-Muslim. They've had Muslims in their midst for decades. Just like America, we've had Muslims in our midst for decades. And it's not that we've become anti-Islamic, but what's happening, just to focus on Islam for a moment, what's happened is that radical Islam, with its aggressive terrorist attacks, has raised its head around the world and in countries in which Muslims live, like the United States and like European countries. And then the increasing immigration of Muslims who have not shown an interest in assimilating into the larger society and becoming part of the Netherlands, part of Sweden, or part of Germany, or part of Italy, but more having their own community within these nations where they now outwardly resist the customs of those nations and even push against them and even make the host country feel uncomfortable. People have reacted against that. That's just one example. And so in the Netherlands, you have an interesting phenomenon. You have Geert Wilders, who is a well-known political leader in the Netherlands. And interestingly, like Donald Trump, has a very prominent hairstyle. It's kind of interesting, catches your attention for sure, his great shock of blonde hair. And he has openly criticized the Quran as a violent book. He's associated directly with Islamic terrorism, so on and so forth. And was speaking to supporters with his party some months back and asked the question, do we want more Moroccans in our midst or less? Because they're having a problem with some Moroccan Muslim immigrants in their midst. And do we want more or less? And people started chanting less and so on. And it goes on later, qualifies certain things he's saying, what he is saying, what he's not saying. Anyway, as a result of that, he gets charged with hate speech and is found guilty of hate speech by the courts. That he is the potential next prime minister of the Netherlands. He has the potential of becoming the prime minister. And from what I've seen, the conviction by the court now has only raised his profile, made him more popular. You see, this is happening around the world. Let me say again, I don't see it so much as a hyper-nationalism like extreme right-wing nationalism that would lead to, say, a Nazi party type of thing. Remember, the Nazis stand, that's the National Party, National, right? The National Party, that's where Nazi comes from in Germany. And it was that hyper-nationalism that led the way and then paved the way for the destruction of those others that were not part of that hyper-nationalism, Jews at the top of that list, meaning that they were now identified as parasites of the state that should be destroyed. But, yeah, there are those that are on the extreme right that have those views, sure. And there are others on the extreme left that would almost want to see America's demise. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that a lot of people said, we don't like where our country's going. Feels like all these other groups have more influence and sway than we do. And we have to be so hyper-careful about offending this one, offending that one. We don't like it. And there's a pushback. There's a pushback. 866-34-TRUTH. So in the first hour, I raised this question. And I want to give you an opportunity now, if you're tuning in now, a second hour of broadcasting today. I want to give you an opportunity to weigh in. Unnamed sources from the CIA leaked to liberal reporters or liberal reporter allege that the Russians hacked our election and influenced the outcome by releasing damning material against Hillary Clinton and the Democrats and helped Trump get in. Another theory says Russia did it, but it wasn't to help Trump get in. They saw he had no way of getting in.